Podcast 96, The Cost of Being a Disciple. The scripture for today's podcast is Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62. Last week I talked about the parable of the two builders. This week I want to talk about the cost of being a disciple. There is a story about a young man who wanted to dedicate his life to God. He got a piece of paper and made a list of all the things he would do for God. He wrote down the things he would give up, the places he would go to minister, and the areas of ministry he would enter. He was excited. He took that list to the church and put it on the altar. He thought he would feel joy, but instead he felt empty. So he went home and started adding to his list. He wrote down more things he would do and wouldn't do. He took the longer list and put it on the altar. But still, he felt nothing. He went to a wise old pastor and told him the situation and asked for help. The pastor said, "Take a blank piece of paper, sign your name at the bottom, put that on the altar." The young man did. And then peace came to his heart. When we commit ourselves to be followers of Jesus Christ, we write a blank check to God. We hand it over and trust God to do what is best for us. This is true for both us personally and us as a community of faith. We literally don't know where we will be at the end of 2022. Will God call some of us to another job or to a different place to live? Will we get sick? Whatever happens, we can be sure that God is there with us as a parish and as individuals. And He can be trusted. And this is such a hard lesson to learn. I find it hard. But above all the circumstances of our life, this should be the bedrock our life is founded on. God can be trusted. But the intention to follow Jesus can be a costly one. Today's section of Luke's Gospel is all about the cost of being a disciple. This passage is part of what's known as the travel narrative in Luke. In Luke 9, verse 51, we read that Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This journey to Jerusalem and the events that take place on it are the subject matter for Luke's Gospel, from Luke 9:51 to Luke 19:27, about 10 chapters of the 24 chapters of Luke. In this passage in Luke 9, Jesus meets three different wannabe disciples, two of whom approach Jesus, and one who is invited by Jesus to follow him. I want to comment on these three wannabe disciples because all through the Gospels, Jesus is consistent about spelling out to people how costly being a disciple and following him is. In Luke 9:57, the first person approaches Jesus while they are walking along the road, and he has a simple request. He wants to follow Jesus wherever he is going. This was the normal pattern for travelling rabbis of that day. Someone approached you and asked to be your disciple, and was either accepted or rejected. How does Jesus respond to this request? He says, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Jesus is at this moment an itinerant rabbi. But up until now, in Luke's Gospel, he's been based in Capernaum and has been living somewhere in Capernaum, probably as a guest in the house of one of his followers. So is Jesus saying, in order to be a good disciple and follow him, you have to be homeless? I don't think so. But my understanding of what Jesus is saying is that being a disciple may involve giving up things that other people take for granted. The second person noted in Luke 9:59 is called by Jesus, who says to him, "Follow me." just as he's personally and specifically called Matthew earlier in Luke 5:27. This person responds, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." This almost certainly does not mean the man's father was lying in state, waiting to be buried at this point in time. If this had been the case, the man would have not have been having this conversation with Jesus, but home managing the funeral arrangements. In Jewish culture, family loyalty and family responsibilities took precedence over almost every other obligation of the time. And one of the most significant roles of an eldest son was to arrange a suitable burial for his father. To fail to do so reflected badly on the character of the son and also brought shame to the whole family. Jesus' response, "Let the dead bury their own dead," would have been profoundly shocking to the Jewish people listening to him. And what does Jesus mean when he says this? Being a disciple places the demands of the kingdom of God above all else, including duty to family. The third person to approach Jesus in Luke 9:61 with the intention of following him has something he wants to do. He says, "First, let me go back and say goodbye to my family." This seems to be a reasonable request, but Jesus' response is negative. Is Jesus' reply deliberately extreme? A ploughman who looks back is likely to produce a crooked furrow. The job requires looking forward and full concentration. So to be concerned with family ties is to jeopardize your focus on the kingdom of God. A disciple is a learner, and the primary teacher in life is Jesus. This total loyalty is crucial, given the rejection and persecution that lie ahead for the disciples who follow him. Being a disciple means the relationship with Jesus takes first place, even above saving your own life. Many martyrs through the ages have made that ultimate sacrifice and laid down their lives rather than surrender their faith. So you can see from these examples that Jesus is not exactly very encouraging to people who follow him. He's not welcoming with open arms anyone who comes to him and says they want to follow him. At times, as in these examples, he's even refusing people he himself identifies and calls to follow him based on their response. All the time, he is spelling out for all the disciples the high demands that discipleship and putting the kingdom of God first involves. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor and theologian who was hanged by the Nazis during World War II. He was executed for his part in a plot to assassinate Hitler. Bonhoeffer coined the phrase cheap grace, and this is what Bonhoeffer said about cheap grace. "Cheap grace is the grace we bestow on ourselves. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Cheap grace is the deadly enemy of our church. We are fighting today for costly grace." Now, of course, we should welcome and be friendly to all those who come through our church doors and to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. But as preachers of the gospel and disciples who follow Jesus, do we make it clear to people what the cost of discipleship is? Do we as church members know ourselves what the cost of discipleship is and how we live out this costly life? I sometimes think the church in the affluent West, which includes New Zealand, has lost a sense of the cost of discipleship. Being a disciple means the relationship with Jesus takes first place, even above saving our own life. For each of us, this will mean different things. I'm not going to prescribe to you what being a disciple means for you. But each of us has to talk to the Lord about what he wants us to do to be disciples and put him first. Let's pray that we can be open and honest with God and listen attentively for what he has to say to us about what putting him first means for us.